the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Thanks for being with us here on the Generic Live Show. It's good to be here. I'm joined yet again by some special individuals with an S this time. This is the first time this show has ever had more than two people on it. We're going to see how this works. More than two, yes. Because there's three of us here sitting here. That was the voice of Carl, by the way. And that's Carl over there on the first side, okay. We're celebrating transgenderism here today. No, I'm just kidding. We're very diverse. It's a very diverse cast here on the show. And I'm the only one without glasses. I don't wear that. But that is truly diversity. Thanks for joining us here on the show. For those people who may not know you guys' fine work, why don't you introduce yourself to the audience? Yeah, because Maddie, there's more to you than what meets the eye.
Thank you,
Dale. I don't know what that's meant to mean at all.
Well, yeah, I'm Maddie, and I've known Dale for a little while now. Long-time listener of the show.
That's right, yeah.
First time,
that's entirely my fault.
I forgive you, though.
What else?
I'm a new student.
Yeah, that's about it. Carl, what about you?
Well, not very interesting. I'm just here because I'm dating Maddie.
Oh, yeah, full disclaimer.
She invited me along.
Yeah, full disclaimer, these two are dating, unfortunately for me.
Yes, the best to me is that I'm a geek, that's about it.
See, they're...
And also that you and Dale are friends. I feel like that's a contributing factor.
I'm 62% married to Dale.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is a long... I don't think I've ever mentioned that on the show, by the way. That is a long... long story. Although Maddie and I, we actually, I'll explain that this real quick. Maddie and I did a test, a scientific test.
Facebook quiz. Backed by science.
Backed by 100% science. That proved that Maddie and I are 62% the same person.
Yes.
Which means Carl is 62% mine, so it's all good here. Thanks guys for joining me. Maddie, you haven't listened to the show for a while.
No.
You used to listen, though, way back, a couple of years ago in our old format, back when we were a half-hour show.
Yeah, for a while, when you were on a Wednesday, I think it was.
Wednesday, I think at 10, we were on a Wednesday at 10.
Going back a while.
That is going back a while, but thanks, everyone. I'm thanking myself in that category. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. Now, big news... I don't know why I'm constantly looking at big news, guys. Did you hear?
Those people.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. By the way, if the audio sounds a little bit weird, it's because we're recording in the Great Living Emporium here at GLS headquarters with the live studio audience. By the way, they just won't stop. They just wandered up. And I don't know what. Is she all right over there? I don't know. I don't know if she's...
Hey,
we might... Yeah, that was Maddie here. I mean, yeah. I don't really want to do the show now. I just want to have a full hour of... I wanted to do this for a long time. It might be an April Fool's Day thing. Like, do just an hour of not doing any news. That is not talking, technically. That is just an hour of you not talking. All right, let's dive right into the show head first with a huge story this week. A story that I'm surprised has taken... See, I'm caught on two minds here. I'm surprised that it's taken this long to make news. And I'm also surprised that it's going to be continuing to make news for a long time. The call for marriage equality in Australia is finally happened by the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. We're going to let the fine folks at Sky News. Actually, no, we're not going to let Sky News. Yeah, we are going to let Sky News explain more.
Prime Prime Minister and Liberal Conservatives have reiterated the government's stance on same-sex marriage, but despite the Prime Minister warning that if it is not backed by the Parliament, it could be potentially a very long time before there is some change to the law. Coalition Senator Erica Betts, meantime, told Sky News he does not expect Malcolm Turnbull or the Cabinet to seek a vote in Parliament on marriage equality.
I am confident that the Liberal National Party will hold true to our election promise, which was to give this very important issue to the Australian people to decide, and I think anything other than that would be a breach of faith with the Australian people, and that is why I don't believe the Prime Minister and Cabinet would seek to take us down that road.
That is, well, the second part there is a... Conservative senator in Parliament. More reaction from other senators and MPs. Some of them would actually have shocked me when I was reviewing, you know, in preparation for the show. But to give context, the question that Australians will be asked in February, the date is in here somewhere, February 11th, is, do you support a change in the law to allow same-sex couples to marry? That is the question that would be posed to Australians on February 11th. Malcolm Turnbull threatens the Parliament that it will be a long time, if the plebiscite is shut down between now, September 18th, and February 11th, that there won't be any change in the Parliament for assumably a long time, in air quotes. But to me, a long time seems just a term of Parliament, to be completely honest. We'll stop here. The question is funny. What do you guys think of the question? The questioning is everything in a plebiscite, particularly. We saw with Brexit, that was more of a referendum than a plebiscite. But there was still one fundamental question. Does the question kind of, like, cause bias, do you think?
I think it's an interestingly worded question. You know, do you support a change in the law to allow same-sex couples to marry?
Not necessarily do you want to change.
Yeah. I feel like they're dragging things out.
Oh, God, yeah.
And that's the whole point of this, I think, is that no one wants to make an incredibly easy decision that would cost... It would cost this country literally nothing to allow same-sex marriage. It's... The only thing that will happen if, you know, same-sex couples want to get married is that they'll get married.
Yeah.
That's literally all that will happen, and they're just sort of prolonging the process.
Well, to me, I mean, for people who don't know, I am a member of the LGBT community, and I mean, you can figure out which one of those letters applies to me. There are photos that would support more than one argument in that phase, but the point is, like, and thinking of, like, from an economical perspective, like you were mentioning, Maddie, like, you think happy a unit family is more productive for an economy than a single person, particularly of, you know, traditional kind of, like, white people, for lack of a better, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the two most functioning things for the economy caused by, you know, people who are, like, diverse, like, people who are diverse and people who, you know, are the family unit. The government has funded $7.5 million... taxpayer dollars, mind you. This is Australian dollars. So about $15 million for a yes. For both the yes to the question, do you want to change...
Do you support a change?
Not even the change, it's a change. And 7.5 for the yes and 7.5 for the no. So that's $15 million for a campaign. I don't think these campaigns will be beneficial at all.
Well, from what I heard, the campaign isn't actually a... If you will vote yes, then this is what we're going to do. It's more of a, we're going to have the information that you wanted, but that doesn't mean we actually have to do anything with it.
Yeah, because it's not a referendum.
Yeah, no, so it's just a lot of money for them to say, we did something when they really didn't.
And then that the clip mentioned that the conservative senator just mentioned, oh, it was an election promise, and we don't want to back down on those.
Yeah. I think it just further proves the fact that as the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull should want the best for all Australians.
Yeah.
I mean, a little cliche, but that's essentially what it is, and he's letting millions and millions of Australians not live their true self and not be truly happy.
Because of an election promise.
Exactly.
So, but, and to like, stand up, I mean, I gotta give it, I don't know, it's something, I'm, like, you know, playing devil's advocate here for a couple of seconds, you know, it's courageous for the Prime Minister to stand up in question time and, like, kind of support what he was saying at the election. I mean, I was... Full disclaimer, I was very close to the election because I was, you know, volunteering for a federal campaign here locally. I have to say that every single time, how annoying that is. about this same-sex marriage, you know, he was saying, you know, it just truly shows you how conservative he really is. We're going to hear some reaction now from some well-known senators in relation to this last week in Cabinet.
By going to a plebiscite that he doesn't support. And now he's rolled over again by going to shovel public money to those who oppose marriage equality.
I don't think either side's funded. I think people are entitled to go and raise money themselves if they want to run political campaigns. I don't think taxpayers should be running political campaigns.
Whatever the funding is, it needs to be equal for both sides.
$160 million for a plebiscite is bad enough. An extra $15 million to be funding the case is an extra $15 million, $175 million in the context that we're meant to be facing a budget emergency, the ACL.
Sorry, a quick point there. That is a good point, by the way, that the plebiscite itself, when it's all said and done, will cost $175 million with the additional campaign costs. So... that's just something to consider. We'll continue here with the reactions from the senators.
I'll describe children of same-sex couples as the stolen generation. These are not people who, you know, engage in respectful and civil debate. They attack us for who we are, and they attack our children. And that is what this taxpayers' money is going to be used for.
The plebiscite would be awful, hurtful, harmful. And we feel that by blocking the plebiscite, it actually then allows us to move on to increase the pressure, to ramp up the pressure, to have a free vote in our parliament.
The assumption that you've heard from Janet Rice that a free vote is an alternative to a plebiscite, I think is a heroic assumption. I cannot see the Liberal Party agreeing to a free vote in the context of the Labor Party having a binding vote. In the next parliament, there's a potential that Bill Shorten and the Labor Party could stop any action on same-sex marriage in this term of parliament. We've said very clearly that this will proceed only if there's a plebiscite. That's the policy we took the election, and we can't abandon that, and we won't abandon that.
We don't accept that it means that it will be put on the back burner. Anything is totally unpredictable in this parliament as to what's going to happen.
I think the language has been pretty strong from Labor. I hope they don't support the plebiscite. It would be a waste of money for the world's most expensive opinion poll.
Same-sex marriage is a bit like a seedling tree. Everybody wants to own it, and all the interest groups are like dogs. And you know the way a dog likes to own territory, it pops its leg on it. And they'll all pop their leg on it so much that they'll kill the tree.
Hey, Maddie, you look like you're about to grab that microphone and throw it through this glass door. What do you think?
That last comment was...
Why? I didn't even know. Okay, so
it's a little in poor taste to maybe boil down this whole situation to a dog urinating.
Or multiple of them.
Multiple dogs
urinating on a metaphorical tree. I understand the metaphor he's making, but it's still so.
I'm a fan of bad metaphors,
yes,
as much as the next.
Did you know Dale?
Yeah, if you've been listening to the show long enough.
I do love Penny Wong, though.
Oh, Penny Wong. Oh.
You know, as a gay member of Australian Parliament, she's... I love her. She's a role model, and she stands up for what she believes in, and it's good to see her fighting for what she believes in, because she has a family, doesn't she? She has children.
Yes.
Yeah, she has, you know, a life partner, you know, and children, and she really represents a lot of a huge part of Australia.
I mean, even listening to that clip there, you kind of, I feel sorry for the Liberals. I mean, you know what I mean, though? Like, we heard it in that clip. We heard one of the second Liberal that spoke. I can't remember his name. If I did this show professionally. If I had an intern. But that second guy was kind of like, well, I can't see what the big problem is, but we have to have this free vote.
Because they promised it.
Exactly. What? Yeah. That tree comment, though. I would boil down. Okay, bad analogy time with Dale. I would boil this plebiscite down to. Okay, I'm trying to think of one on the spot, and this is never good for anyone involved. okay. I would boil this down to a very controversial art painting in a gallery. It's for sale. And two people want to buy this painting. One person wants to start a pool of money and buy it, for both people to kind of share between how this is not going anywhere important. But, and the second person wants to borrow money from a bank to use it for all of them themselves, to have the painting by themselves. That's what it's kind of like. It's not like that at all, isn't it?
I guess we were coming from, it's less vulgar. So I automatically prefer that.
Okay. I will refine that metaphor over the next, 7 months before this ends up not being any news anymore, because where did February 11 come from?
I don't know.
They threw a dart at a calendar.
That's what it seems like. That calendar on my fridge there. I mean, if we threw a dart at
a D12 for the months.
Yeah.
Hey, Maddie, go to my mantelpiece. There's a D12 in there. I'm just going to set a better date here on the show right now.
You watch, we'll get into February, and it'll all just be for nothing.
I don't think so.
I hope that's not what happens.
Yeah.
Something needs to eventuate out of this.
You hope to have that much money going into it.
Exactly.
175.
I think a lot of people in the community, in the LGBTQ community, maybe are a little worried that we'll get to February and something that they waited for might not extend.
Well, we'll talk more next hour, because this story is going to be on the show for a long time, heading into the end of the year and into the beginning of next year. I feel like this is the story where we'll have to start a segment on the show. So, what plebiscite news is there today? Plebiscite Today is what it's going to be called. Plebiscite Today. It's a spin-off series in conjunction with a review of a review, which is coming up later this hour. It'll be Plebiscite Today. It's the second most common recurring segment on the show. As we continue, but my point is, though, in the second hour, we'll talk more about the social media outrage, and I think one of two things to head into the break, and I'll give one of you two the final words here, because you're the guest. I don't think we're not going to... we're either going to get to February 11, and the resounding yes will happen, and it'll change, or we won't get to February 11 at all. That's one of two things that'll happen.
Like, the world will end?
Yes, the apocalypse. Christmas will come, New Year's will come, everything will be hunky-dory. But what do you think those are the two options that we have, looking at, like, kind of apocalyptically?
There's also the option that it comes and the majority says no.
Well, that's... Certainly true.
That's always a possibility.
Well, yeah. Friend of a friend.
The majority of Australia was this.
Yeah. So it's a big story, and we'll continue to tackle it, of course, in our second hour. And this is labelled one of our stories to watch as we continue here on the Generic Live Show with Dale, Carl, and Maddie.
This one.
That one. Actually, no, I got that the wrong way around, didn't I?
No.
Oops. We've still got 1 hour and 40 minutes. I'm sure I'll get it right by the end of the show here. We're having fun here, though, tonight, here on the Generic Live Show. Yeah, hold that up to the camera. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, I'm about to make a girl's dream come true, though. I'm going to spring something on you, Maddie. But before yes, Maddie is the black one on our run sheet. Our black box, by the way, I want to put that out there. As we continue, though, before I get to that, I'll do the tease. And I'm about to make your dream come true. Because guess what you're going to do?
What am I
going to
do?
You're going to take us to the break. You're going to take us to the break. So I'm going to do the tease. I'll point to you, and you're going to save the time to take us to the break. I'm going to try to find that on you. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, we're coming into summertime now here in Australia, and everyone's thinking of travelling. We have the best seats on an aeroplane that you can possibly choose. We have a list for them for you as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday.
It's 9:22 p.m.
This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale, Maddie, and Carl. I got that right! Yes! Thanks for joining us. We are here in the Great Living Emporium with some very special guests. Thank you guys once again for doing this live. It's a pleasure. It's a long time coming, actually.
For one of us.
For one of us. Yes, for Maddie here, it's been I've had you on for years.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
It's good to be here.
Yes. Well, you were shimmying to the bumper music just a second ago. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk.
He shimmies better than me.
I know, right?
I don't have extra weight.
Anyway, everyone is planning a vacation. It's summer. It's summertime. Wow. It's summer. Summertime, love it. It's springtime, and people tend to travel more at this time. Yeah, sort of this time of the year, kind of coming up into, coming up even to Christmas. You've got to think that we're in the middle of September, for crying out loud. Not much time here. We've got the 7 secrets for getting the most comfortable airline seat, according to the Washington SJ. Washington State Journal?
I
don't know. I don't know. Here's what they say. The 7 secrets of getting the most comfortable airline seat.
That uncomfortable seats fit very comfortably atop the list of things people hate about air travel. If you're looking to snag some comfort without having to spend a whole lot, here are some tips to consider. Number one, pick airlines that offer the most legroom. According to a survey by TripAdvisor.com, nearly 40% of passengers say offering more legroom is the number one way airlines can improve their in-flight experience. Number two, know which planes have the most space. Legroom differs not only between airlines, but within the same airline, as specific jets have different configurations. Experts recommend that before booking a flight, check out SeatGuru.com, which shows specific jet and how much legroom it has. Number three, beware...
Also not an official sponsor.
The regional jets. Counter says that many regional jets have less room to fly with and length than larger jets. Number four,
try to get a better seat for free. If you get to your gate early, nicely ask the gate attendant if you can move into the first row of economy class or an exit row. A lot of the time these upgrades are reserved for elite status flyers, but it never hurts to ask. Number five, understand what you should and shouldn't pay. The rate for seat upgrades varies so significantly that consumers get confused about whether they're getting a deal or not. There's no real rule of thumb on what to pay. But in general, it'll cost you between $15 and $30 for flights up to 3 hours, and $100 or more for long flights. Number six, know when it's worth it to pay more. If you're taking a short flight, it's probably not worth shelling out the extra cash to upgrade your seat. But if you're in for a long flight, it might be an investment worth making. Number seven, if money is no object, still make sure you get your money's worth. If you're prepared to pay thousands of dollars to fly in lie-flat seats, you should look for the ones that flip down. They have two types of surfaces. One for sitting and one for sleeping, which makes them much more comfortable.
And those are the... No, do not autoplay that. That is the top seven secrets. That is a pretty good secret. Do you guys have any more airplane hacks, per se?
Get a whole bunch of friends and hire out the entire plane.
That is a fantastic idea.
I fly quite a bit.
That you do. You are a jet setter.
So, I just figure, you know, taking your own snacks. The most obvious cliche things, like taking your own snacks.
That is a good one, because they do charge for snacks, like peanuts and stuff, yeah.
Well, if you go on, like, Qantas, depending on the time of the flight, they'll give you a meal and stuff. But it's always nice to have your own snacks, you know, make sure you've got lollies or mints if you get motion sick like myself.
Oh, okay.
You know, bring a book or something.
A pillow. Yeah, pillows are really comfortable.
A pillow or one of those necks.
Yeah,
back pillows. those are still pillows.
Yeah.
But no, that's on my trip to the US earlier this year. I cannot believe that was earlier this year.
Wow.
That feels like over a year ago.
Which month was it?
January.
So it's like 9 months ago.
Yeah, like forever ago.
Yeah.
So
forever in all time.
Exactly. I didn't have a neck pillow going over there.
From
Sydney to LA. I have one coming back magically. I lost the thing, but I don't.
Okay.
I may have left it on the plane. I have no idea.
Yeah, the longest flight I had was to Japan, and I didn't have a neck pillow for that either.
That's not a long flight though.
No, but it's still the worst things that I've been on.
Yeah,
and it still sucks. It's like an overnight thing.
Yeah. Well, we have. In a couple of minutes here before the break, we've still got some seats that we want to highlight. Seats, the seat with the entertainment box, so you know that big screen as opposed to the little screens in the first row, those are good. Sit at the back of any section, particularly in longer like international flights, because you're probably near an exit door. Sit next to the main exit door.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that might just be me. And I get nervous sitting at an emergency exit.
Yeah.
But I just don't
hang on, Maddie, this one's for you. Maddie, this one's for you. Sit near the bathroom. That's a really good... Not always.
Well, sometimes in the middle bathroom. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And depends on if you want the bathroom or not to sit near the window seat. Although, the window seat, to me, I don't really like
The window seat. The windows aren't big enough for me to really care.
Yeah, this is true.
So. And I don't like knowing that I'm that far off the ground, so...
This is true.
I'm afraid of heights, but I don't have a problem with it.
Neither do I, yeah. Mm. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show with Dale, Maddie, and Carl... I'm saying that in that order now because you've got me saying it in that order. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, refugees are a big deal. The US is going to take in a whole... heap of them next year. We'll give you more details as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. It's 9:31. Never miss a minute of the Generic Live Show. Find us on Blog Talk Radio.
Just search a generic live show and listen. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Sunday. It's
Sunday Night Live.
Not as good though as Friday Night Live.
Notoriously good comedy on a Friday night.
Absolutely not.
Although Friday.
That's right. That is true. That is very, very notoriously bad. Actually, I didn't mind Friday Night Live.
No,
the earlier seasons were the better ones.
Yeah.
The later seasons.
With lots of things.
This is true. Yeah, name something that got better with age. Certainly not me. joined with Maddie and... What? Sorry. Continue.
No, I didn't say anything.
Were you about to compliment me and I talked
no.
all over you? No? Okay.
Okay.
As awkward as this photo here that we're looking at. The hell is that? Is she confused on what pasta sauce to buy? Sorry.
She's confused on the entire aisle.
I think... not really. If you look in my pantry, that looks like this aisle.
Your pantry is more organized than a supermarket.
Yes.
Yeah.
I gave Carl and Maddie the grand tour of the HQ... I was about to say my house, but the HQ today. It was like, oh, you have a really good house. I do try. I am a housewife, though.
You are.
I do like my housewifely duties. Serious talk, though. serious faces on, though, yeah. Despite my racist comment about Muslim women being confused about which pasta sauce to buy.
Well, I didn't know you were talking about Muslim women.
Yeah, now they know.
They were reading an Italian thing and now they're confused.
Oh,
yeah.
See, I'm
glad. I'm glad that Italian is confusing.
Yes. The U.S. White House wants to resettle 110,000 refugees in the U.S. by next year. The Obama administration wants U.S. to increase the number of refugees it takes in next year to 110,000. Before I continue, that's a lot. Like, 110,000. I know on... You've got to think of these things, like, proportionarily, but 110,000.
Just so I know, that's more than this many, right?
That is more than five, yes. Oh, well, one, yes. Well done. Matt...
Hey, by the way,
I forgot to mention we are here at the Great Live Emporium and the crowd is going right over that mask. And Bernardo apparently is interrupting the crowd, yeah. Secretary of State John Kerry told lawmakers the administration wants to admit 110,000 international refugees in the fiscal year beginning October 1st, NPR Scott Horsley tells our newscast unit, courtesy of NPR's newscast unit. We've got some sounds from that. We're going to hear. We're not going to listen to the whole thing, but we've got some sounds.
Over the last year, the U.S. has taken in about 11,000 Syrians. It's a small number compared to the 5 million who have fled Syria's long civil war. Today we start a journey with one Syrian family and the New Jersey church group that's committed to helping them forge a new life in America. NPR's Deborah Amos has been following the family and the church members. We'll hear the first of three reports in just a couple of minutes, but first Deb joins us to tell us more about her reporting. Good morning.
Let's not hear about that reporting because the clip is about 9 minutes long. But that's the
close to 10.
Yeah, well, yeah, 9 minutes 49, this is true. But that's a lot. That's 10 times more. How... I don't know how I feel about this.
It's a very mixed sort of thing.
Yeah.
It makes me feel very mixed about because the kind of person I am, I don't want people in Middle Eastern countries to have to feel their life every day. And there are, you know, we have people from America and Australia and New Zealand and... UK and
Germany.
And Germany.
Oh, yeah.
Germany.
Look at the mess that's happening in Germany. In Germany, though, like, that's evident of that sort of thing. You know, they're a neighbouring country,
yeah.
I think.
Close,
not, close enough. I think they flee by boats over there. Is that what I'm...
Well, Germany's kind of central in...
It's an entry point. It's
yeah.
their first point of entry. But continue, Maddie, sorry.
There are so many places where people can seek refuge and be safe. But with the amount of Islamophobia growing. I know it's a huge problem here in Australia, and with the recent Orlando shooting as well.
I need to take some water here.
Especially with the recent Orlando shooting, this sort of fear of Islam and Islamophobia and Sharia law is just growing and growing, and I feel like this over 100,000 new refugees is going to...
It definitely, but I'm old enough to remember. I mean, I was sitting, not here, but I was sitting upstairs the day that the Orlando shooting happened. It was fresh, you know, we went to air, you know, literally two hours after it happened, because it happened over there at 3 to 5 in the morning. That's when that kind of siege, quote unquote siege, happened. You know, the event of the shooting lasted, you know, more than 2 hours. You know, I just was shot to the core when that happened. I'm old enough to remember a time when a disability centre in San Bernardino was shot up by, you know, by that, you know, by a radical Islamic person. But I keep coming back to the 80-20 rule in life. I don't know how I'm getting back to 80-20 rule when it comes to Islamic people, but 20% of, you know, 80% are good, 20% are bad, but it's 20% of the bad making up 80% of the coverage. So I think but 10 times as more, as many, that's good English.
Do they even have the room to accommodate? Like, I understand what they're trying to do, but you have to, and it sounds so insensitive because you want to help people, but you have to think about a lot of other circumstances. Do you have enough room for them? Are there enough jobs for them? Are there enough safe places for them to be? Can the country even afford to have that many more people come into their country in such huge amounts?
Yeah, I agree, of course, because, you know, you and I are much, you know, aligned in that sort of way. It's going to be the boringest show ever. No arguments from anyone on this couch. But except for the review coming up in, you know, a couple of minutes. sausage party. That's going to be fun. But we talk about the drain on the economy. I don't think my problem with it boils down to we don't have a world economy anymore.
No. It's everybody owes China.
Not quite what I meant, but
that's essentially what it is, though.
Yeah.
Everybody owes China.
Yeah, I mean, but more to my point of, yeah, everyone owing China billions of dollars, and we see, you know, their economy deflating too, but I don't think settlement is kind of a hot topic issue in their lands. I think my point is, though, you have so many different economies these days. You have the US as its own economy. You have us as our own economy. You know, we have all these flexible economies. How do we, like, kind of fit something like 110 people into that new economy, where they haven't been functional members of an economy before?
With great difficulty.
Yeah. I mean, it's not... none three of us on this couch are policymakers. I mean, you know, Carlos over here is eating, you know, all of my crackers and... No, I'm just kidding.
I can't go, like, a minute without having something in my mouth.
Well... okay, all right.
Like a natural.
Oh! Are you two, like... Hang on, have I been lied to this whole time? We'll get back on track.
Well, I am Maddie.
Are you Maddie? Okay. Yeah. Alright.
Sorry.
So, yeah, beginning on October 1st, that's up to 85,000 refugees from the current year. Kerry made the remarks, members of Congress, on Tuesday, a senior administration told NPR. The administration had previously proposed resettling 100,000 refugees in 2017, NPR reported. This increase, the administration says, quote, based on the belief that all countries should do more to help the world's most vulnerable people, unquote. Yes and no. You look like you're about to punch me in the face.
No. Do it! Do it! Do it! Like you said, though, situation. I feel like feminism,
but thank God I don't have any of those.
Well, you disagree on that? Oh, that's all of them. You know, I feel like they're going to get themselves in so much hot water over this. I feel like they're reaching a little too far.
Right. Well, even the world, I mean, we should try and help out those in need. No, I believe in that, otherwise I wouldn't have spent 6 months in a foreign country teaching primary school children. But the point of the matter is, I think we can only help certain people to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You look at perfect example here is the homeless sort of situation we're seeing around the place pop up.
Mm.
You know, this inequality kind of conflict between people. We can't help... Well, we can help the homeless person by giving them, you know, $5. But would it be reasonable for us to give... Are there people out there these days who would, you know, invite a homeless person into the house?
Yes, would be unlikely.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is essentially what it is.
Yeah.
It's essentially, you know, we're inviting these people into new houses, essentially. And like,
I know in all the circumstances, they do ask people, citizens of the country, to take in refugees. That's happened in countries before, where the government has asked its citizens to help house these people in a country such as America, where I'm not saying all Americans are like that. It's even like in Australia, you have very accepting people, and then you do have, you know, extremist people, extremist individuals who assume every person from the Middle East is a terrorist. And
like my aunt.
She's one of them.
You know, like a lot, we all know someone like that.
Yeah.
And America is no different. There are people like that, so that's a good analysis,
but, you know, thinking to what I've got planned for later in the year, that's still to be, you know, announced, because I've got a lot of logistics to sort out before I even make an announcement for what I'm planning for Christmas time. I think I've mentioned it on the show before, but not officially. I've floated the idea of an orphan Christmas, you know, opening my front door to people who don't have anywhere to go for Christmas. You know, of course, do it, you know, tie it back to GLS by doing a show, you know, have people on the show, goofing off on Christmas Day. Yeah. Raked over the coals for working on Christmas Day, but you know, the point of the matter is, it's people bringing people in for fun. You know, would I help house a refugee I know nothing about? You're probably not.
Yeah, but that's the thing. But the kind-hearted of people, I like to think the three of us here are nice people, and we'll do anything to help people. And to help
I'm
people
not a nice person.
I know all about both of them. No, but it's so difficult to say that we would take in a refugee, because we couldn't. There's no way we could.
Well, I couldn't even take in someone who wasn't a refugee.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, Maddie, you look so sad, apparently.
I look sad?
Yeah, you're being told to smile some more.
Oh, I just love being told to smile. Because
Michael Power is telling you to smile.
Who told me to smile? Michael Power.
Michael Power.
Oh.
Of the Power family.
Of the Power family.
Of the Power family.
I know Michael Power.
Ah, okay. He has a lot. Does he have a lot of power?
He thinks so.
Oh, Michael.
It's just my resting face.
The camera's there. And we're all smiling here. We are having a good time here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. But the final word, the current number sits at 11,503. I don't know. And we are in the middle of an election campaign too. You've got to put that into consideration as well. You know, will this carry over into the next election cycle, depending on who's elected? I think so too.
And that's a whole other
issue that I have stopped talking about on the show for the time being, because primaries. As we continue, that laugh can only mean one thing. It's time for a Drake. Anyway, as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with with Dale, Carl, and Maddie. You can't see below the camera, I'm pointing in all sorts of different directions.
There you go.
Thank you. Speaking of English, we have someone who's really big into English here on this couch. And guess we're going to bring back one of my favorite segments for them. Be scared, Maddie, because you are going one-on-one with a review of a very popular adult animation comedy. It's going to be epic. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, it's 9:50. Whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep, this is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday here in the Great Living Emporium. Here at our four special guests, Carl and Maddie. I'm screaming it wrong. Well, hopefully by hour two I'll get it right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have to put my guests through torture. Actually, you wanted to say something like, when we came back into... Yeah.
Shout out to Michael Powell, my uncle, who's watching. It's good to know I have support.
Probably was watching it, probably.
He's probably offended.
Yeah, yeah. He's probably not watching now, but he was watching.
So. He was watching. Good on him, though. It'll be in the archive. I mean, if it comes up in family dinners, you can say, hey, I did... Remember when I gave
you a
shout?
Remember when you told
me to smile? Yeah. Remember when that... Don't remember. Anyway, beep, actually. I will have to go beep that out. Oh, God damn it. All right, we're back.
I'm surprised I wasn't the first one to do
that. Yeah. Noted. But you're big into literature, so what not better thing to do to bring back one of my favourite segments called... Review of a review, and it has a very, very special opener. Here it is. That is the opener for a review of a review. This time, it's for the 2016 Seth Rogen movie Sausage Party. Maddie, you've got that review right in front of your face. Of reading... and reviewing it. Carl and I will laugh along with you. Maddie and I, sorry.
Along with you.
Because you're a fan of literature.
I am.
And
did you choose an English major?
Well, I think my English major would amount to something.
And it's coming onto an internet radio show and reviewing a review.
Excellent. Okay.
So take it away.
So I will just start reading the review. This man writes, I've got a man or woman on the
list. Well, actually, you can say the username, just not, like, if it has an email address there.
So, this review was by TCM Guy from London on the Expert. He says, I've seen some damn awful animation movies in my time, and I have two young boys now, young teenagers. This pile of embarrassment puke takes the biscuit. Seth Rogen and his dude friends should hang their heads in shame. How the hell does the bottom of the barrel scum like that in cinemas? Can I say something?
Sure. No, you can't.
I mean, Seth Rogen does take the piss at some pretty like low-rank comedy.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's written some really insightful films that don't actually dwell right into comedy. They're more like, you know, thoughtful comedy. I don't quite know the correct term for that, but anyway...
I do like the fact that, I don't know if you're going to get to this in your review of a review, but look at the word dude.
Yeah, it's like a double
quotation. And that's a single one. Anyway, continue.
Three for people speaking, right? Seth obviously finds the F word hilarious.
Actually typed F.
Yeah, he did. I was going to say, the F word is hilarious.
Absolutely. We're not going to say it now.
No, I'm not
going to
say it.
Dale. Fridge magnet. Fridge magnet.
Okay. It was Fudge. The F word.
Fudge cakes.
Particularly. No, sorry. It was the F word practically all the way through. I brought my young teenage kids to see this, thinking we might get a few laughs, at least. Nope. I've been to funerals and had more laughs. A lot more laughs. Even if I had just smiled once at a funeral, it would be my more smile than I cracked at this travesty of a comedy. He was going to funerals for people that he
died.
What
kind of music are they playing at these funerals, though? Are they playing like stuff like stuff like this at the funerals? Like what's
Sorry, continue.
Oh, okay, so this guy's sociopath. I never felt so yucky leaving a cinema. Well, he must have been doing something different.
His teenage kid is that?
I never felt so yucky leaving a cinema than I did after seeing this crap. I want to start a campaign to have refund desks at cinemas so that we can get some relief from seeing movies like Sausage Party. I want my money back and Seth Rogen to make a public apology. Oh, I have a lot of opinions.
Go on.
State them. I mean, whether you think comedic films are artistic or not, film is a form of art, and it's like looking at a painting. Some people look at the Mona Lisa and can appreciate it for what it's worth, and some people look at the Mona Lisa and go, it's a painting of a woman, and get nothing else.
Why didn't you take
a
photo?
Yeah.
You know, it's exactly the same. So, I mean, yes, not everyone is going to like this movie. Not everyone's going to have the same opinions as me. They should, but that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that is OTT for a movie that
it's wiener's jokes.
Yeah,
wiener jokes.
It's literally food coming to life. Like he's a sausage, and the main female character, voiced by Kristen Wiig, an incredible actress and comedian, is the bun. And you know, I'm not gonna.
Yep.
He wants to make a hot dog.
Yep. Wants to make a hot dog. Thank you, Carl.
You know, it's not supposed to be insightful. You're not supposed to walk out of the cinema thinking, "Wow, I'm a changed person from that."
Yeah, it's not meant to
be. I will never eat food the same again.
You know,
well, yes.
The fantastic thing about film, I am a film buff. I love film and cinema and television.
Uh-huh.
And my favourite thing that I get out of film and television is that for, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, you can get lost in this world reality that's different from your own and just enjoy yourself.
But what about the review?
The review. The review was so snarky.
It really was.
I felt like it was so unnecessary.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, yes, we've all gone to the cinemas and seen a crappy movie. We're not going to get a refund on it.
Refund desks.
And it's Seth Rogen to make a public apology.
Puff, puff, lost it.
Refund desks all
yeah.
around.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So what are you going to give that review?
Out
of 10.
Out of 10? Like half.
What's the highest?
10.
10, yeah.
What?
Yeah. How much out of 10 are you going to give it? What's the highest? I know. Alright. What are you going to give the review?
Like, can I give it like a quarter of a star?
Sure.
I'm going to give it a quarter of a star.
Oh, wow.
Because he was being mean.
You heard it here first. Don't be mean to Carl. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, we're heading into hour two, and we're going to keep following. We're following up a story that happened over the week. Australia, get ready, because things are about to get interesting. We'll tell you more as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. It's 10 o'clock.